Today, I want to talk to you about a condition that is affecting a lot of people. And in honest answer, I have to say that some events that happened this week kind of like go along with what I'm talking about today. And it wasn't planned that way. And let me explain to you how this was planned. We have a worship meeting here every Wednesday. We meet with the elders, and before the meeting and after the meetings, we pray for the church and for your families. And the other day in our meeting, Sister Wilhelmina and I, we were the only ones that Wednesday, we were start talking. And we were talking about days when you feel like really, really sad, that you feel depressed. Have you ever experienced that? A day when you don't want to get out of your bed. A day when you want to close the curtains and probably hide under your blankets and stay there. And I was telling that to Wilhelmina and say, Pastor, it has been days that even I want to be under my bed. I say, oh, me too. He says, No. You're talking about the blankets. I'm speaking literally under my bed right there. And we all experience moments like that. You know, that's known as depression. And this week, I happened to have this big actor who killed himself and passing through a very difficult time. And I was reflecting in that. I was talking to my son about that. What do you think a person that is close to doing something like suicide is thinking? What are the last thoughts for this person? And discussing with my son, he said, well, probably their family, the people that they love. And it is really difficult to me to comprehend what they are thinking. It's a mental condition that is really dangerous. And I just want to take a few seconds to let you and be aware, if you are suffering from depression and you happen to be a Christian, And you think that praying and reading the Bible maybe help you, and that's the only solution, I would like to encourage you also to see a doctor. We made a mistake to think that because we believe in God and that we don't need to go to a doctor. And it's okay, we all get depressed for moments, but then we go back to normal, right? But if you notice that your depression continues for a longer period, and you are not able to cope with that, when deal with that, please visit a doctor. Talk to someone about that. Don't let the problem destroy you. And I remember a church once having a gentleman with a serious problem of depression. And one of the members was bashing him, saying, how is it possible that you don't have faith, and criticizing him because he was not able to get rid of depression. What this person ignores is, for some of you, it's a medical condition. It's not something that we choose or want to be there. It just happened. And certain things can trigger deep depressions. They can become clinical. For that reason, I just want to mention one more time. If you feel that your problems are overwhelming, if you feel that you don't have hope, if you feel like the problems that you are dealing right now, they are so big, please talk to someone. Reach for help. Don't stay there, you know, because you need help, and we are willing to help too. Well, with that kind of like introduction, I want you to help me to read in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 24, the story of King David. Let me go down here for a minute. Just want to be sure my microphone is working. Okay, 1 Samuel 24. Okay. It's a special music moment for them. Don't worry, my friend. I talk to the musicians and they are helping me at the end with something special. In 1 Samuel 24, we had the story of David. And I want you to pay attention to the story because there's a lot of lessons that I think they are valuable for us today. And let's go and open the scripture and start reading for the Holy Bible. And this is what the Bible, and this is what God is saying to us today. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that he was told him, saying, Take note, David is in the wilderness in Engedi, and then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild coast, or the wild goats. So he came to the steepholes of the road where there was a cave, and Saul went into to attend his needs. David and his men were staying in the crevices of that cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord had said to you, 'Behold, I deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to the man, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to the master of the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.'" And I want to stop for a moment here. So the story begins when David and his people hiding in this big cave, being persecuted by the king. And if you probably know about the geography of that region, you realize that in Palestine and Israel, they don't have a lot of trees. It's kind of like a desert place. So if you have an army of people and you are hiding, unless you have like an excellent camouflage, it's really difficult to hide in there. They will notice you. They will spot you right there. "Oh, look, this is the people." And I think that's the idea for King Saul when he was following David. So the only other place that they had to protect themselves from the king was the caves, and that's what they did. They had many caves in that region. They entered into one of these caves and way there, you know, hoping that they would never be found. Have you guys ever visited a cave? How was the experience? It is dark. It's a little different. It's a little cool, right? 55 degrees most of the time. But it's also very peaceful. It's very pleasant. Many years ago, our church in New York City planned a trip to visit one of the caves in New York. And the reason that I want to go to the cave, this is kind of like personal, is because they mentioned that they have like a rock in the cave that it was shaped in the form of a heart. You know that cave, right, Claudette? And if you stand in that rock there, what happened, Claudette, when you stand in the rock? Oh, it's a lot of weddings. But they told us, if you stand in the rock and you think the person that you want to marry, 1 year later, you will get married to this person. And at the time, I was dating John Miss Denise, that she's sitting there in the back. So I was really excited. Okay, that's the place that we need to go, you know, to get help here. You know, God can help us to solve our problems. But sadly, Denise didn't go to this trip. So I ended up going by myself. Quite a boring place, what I'm doing here by myself. And I'm telling you, this is the first time I entered a cave in my life, and it was quite amazing. They have this nice elevator. They bring you out probably 80 feet down under the ground. And they had a river, like a lake. And it is very interesting seeing the formations. In one point, they turn off the lights, and it's completely dark. You don't see your hand right there in front of your face. There's nothing there to see. So if you spend a lot of time in a cave that is quite dark, what will happen to you when you come to the light? You get a little blinded. Meanwhile, your eyes get adjusted again to the light, right? So what will happen to you if you come from the light into the cave? The same phenomenon, right? You get blinded. You don't see anything. If you stay in the cave long enough, your eyes will start adjusting, and then you will be able to see something. So the story is telling us that David is hiding there when at least 600 people. And King Saul with his army, 3,000 elite soldiers, looking for David because they want to kill him. Get rid of the guy. The guy is a pest, you know, it's a threat to the kingdom. And they get near the cave, and something interesting happened. The king needs to use a bathroom. You know, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of details. And I guess they thought, well, instead of having the king to use the restroom here in the open, he decided, let's enter the cave so I have some privacy. without noticing that it's at least 601 people inside the cave watching you. And it seems like it was a long business to take care of that, because is it long enough to David to sneak and carefully cut part of his robe? It wasn't like something quick, it was something long. But King Saul didn't notice anyone. And he didn't even notice the danger that he was placing himself. Can you imagine what would happen to the name of King Saul if he was killed during that moment? Not only the shame, but it was something really, really disgraceful for a king to die in such a way. Think about it. You know, oh, the king was in the cave, and something happened there. You know, he got killed. No more details about that. Why David was like that? Why he was being persecuted? Well, yeah, in part. But the reason that he was being persecuted is because God had selected him to be the next king. And he didn't look for the position, right? God appointed that to him through the prophet. Can you imagine David thinking, living in that cave with all these people, without a lot of food, without a lot of water? Maybe remembering when he killed the giant, you remember Goliath, and all these big victories that God had given him, and all these good things, and now he's running for his life and in this cave. What kind of questions David will ask to God? I will suggest at least one, right? Why is God allowing all these bad things happening to me right now? I've been trying to be faithful. I'm trying to do his will. And here I am being persecuted and almost killed by this mad king. Now, when they are at the cave, the soldiers, David's soldiers, they say, look, this is a blessing in disguise, right? God had placed your enemy right there, so you can kill him. This is God's will for you to kill this man. And I tell you, if David will kill the king at the time, he will solve a lot of problems. It's kind of like a shortcut. He will get really quick into the line to the kingdom, right? Because there's no more king, and he was already anointed to be king. So I guess the logical move will be placing him in behalf of the king, in King Saul. So you have David and his men arguing about we should kill this man or not. Will you consider that? Think about this. King Saul was kind of like a little crazy, dishonest. He was very angry. In other words, he was a bad king, a bad person. Surely you will consider to kill somebody that at least is a bad person, right? Or no? Maybe no. Your morals is telling you no, how you will do such a thing. During World War I, closing to the end of the war, one British soldier encountered a German soldier, and it happened that he had it at point range with his gun. And the German soldier had nothing in his hands. So he had it right there and had the opportunity to kill him. And for no reason, apparently reason, this soldier didn't kill this man. And he was able to escape and come back to Germany. And a year later, he wrote a book, My Struggle. And then many years later, he killed more than 6 million people. His name was Adolf Hitler. You will kill somebody like that, knowing that he will be such a terrible human being? Well, maybe, Pastor. You know. It is God's will for you to do these things. You see, when we are in trouble, we start thinking, what is God's will, right? So picture David being persecuted, stressed out, probably a little depressed in this cave with all these people, and somebody suggesting, here is your enemy, Here is your chance. Take care of your problem. This is God's will for you. That's a bad advice right there. And he is dealing with these feelings, angry and, you know, all this distress. And he decides to go slow and cut part of the king's robe. But even after he do that, he feels guilty. Why he feels guilty? Because David was one of these people who think that when God anoints somebody, even when this person misbehaves or do terrible things, he should respect this person. He continue having respect for the king as the anointing of the Lord. When you continue reading the Bible, you will find that eventually Saul died in a terrible way. But it wasn't David the one who killed him. So I was reflecting in this story today because I think there's several good lessons that we can get from the story. And this is my first lesson for you, and I want to share with you. Number one. When we are in distress, in spiritual distress, we have the tendency to take shortcuts, right? We don't want to wait for God to deliver. We want to help God. You know, there you push. Maybe it's the will of God that I do this so I can get these things. Think, for instance, Abraham and his wife. Many years to try to have a baby. It didn't happen. And then Sarah one day, you know, let's give the tribe one slave. And they did and had this beautiful baby. They were helping God, right? So what were the consequences? Even today, they are still killing each other, right? The descendants of these people. So we have the tendency to rush and trying to help God. And when we do that, I assure you, it's possible that we make mistakes. Because we need to wait for the right time. It's something that you have been praying lately, and you don't understand why God hasn't delivered yet, and you don't understand why God, it seems like, keep holding you and holding you and holding you, and you always wonder why. Well, it depends on your trust in the Lord, but if you really know God and know that He always cares the best for you, then you will understand that it's for a good reason. It can be difficult, right? Especially when we are in occasions praying for healing, right? God, I need healing right now, and He's not doing that. Still, God is trying to give you the best, right? So be careful with the shortcuts that we take, because in occasions, in our desire to help God, we can create more problems for ourselves. The second lesson that I get from the story is that when you are depressed, sitting right there in the cave, you know, without nothing good to see, God is working in you. God is working in you. Think about your darkest moments in life. Moments when you feel really, really sad, that you feel really, really lonely, and you wonder about God. God is right there with you. And again, it's possible that you are passing through a moment like that right now. Because we all have different, you know, circumstances and different problems. But I'm telling you, God is right there with you. A few years, a good friend of mine, chaplain, working in a hospital, entered in one of the rooms and found this young couple there lying in the bed, crying, desperate, because their newborn baby has died. He was born dead. And since he was the chaplain, they asked him, why God did this to us? Why He killed our baby? And my friend, when he was talking to me, I said, well, that's a very interesting question, you don't think? In a moment like that. So what do you answer to them? And he told me that he told this couple that he didn't do it, that God was right there in the room when then. And understanding their pain and the suffering. And that's the part that we fail to see. You know, in occasions when you are depressed and you are in anguish and you are so focused on your problem that you forget that God is right there with you, working in you. And I'm telling you, the results of this working, they are amazing. If you wait for the right moment and the right time, the things that he will bring into your life, they are amazing. And that's what happened to David. You know, having the confidence that God will deliver whenever he chooses to do so, right? Although we get impatient, we want the things faster, he continued waiting. It's another lesson that I get from this story. Number one, I mentioned God is working with us, in our crisis, helping us there when we don't see him. Avoid the shortcuts, don't help God. And finally, think about this part. Even the people that you despise the most, your enemies, they deserve an opportunity. David had all the reasons to kill this man. Think about that. He had served the king in many occasions. He had sinned for the king. He had been a faithful soldier. He had married the king's daughter, and then the king took his wife and gave it to another man. So Saul did a lot of horrible things to David. He really hated David a lot. And he had all the reasons to take vengeance against this man. And somehow he managed to do nothing. And the lesson that we're talking this morning is, how do you treat your enemies? It is not true that we have like more patience and kind of like tolerance and love for the people that we care for, right? But when it's somebody that we don't care much, hey, if you can take care, you will do it. That to me is amazing, because there have been moments in my life that I feel really, really far away from God. That I want to stay in my room. That I had bitter feelings toward others. And when you start reflecting in all that, then you don't feel like really close to God at all. So the only solution for that is finally let go. Right? Do you have somebody in your life that you really hate? Do you remember someone that hurt you? And if you still remember, it's because it still hurt, right? It's one of the most difficult things to do. Letting go, right? Maybe an ex-husband who betrayed you, cheated on you, take your money, do terrible things to you. Or brother or sister. Somebody in your family. Maybe the bully who bothered you in school when you were a little kid. You remember the guy? I remember the guy. He was the biggest man in our classroom, second grade. And that guy looked like a giant there, and he was always teasing us and bothering us and pushing us. And there's nothing that you can do about it. I really hate that guy for many years. You know? But one of the most difficult things to do as a Christian is finally letting go. When I finally realized that when you harbor hate for someone, the only one who's getting hurt is you, then I finally decided, you know what, it's time to move on. It's no point for me to keep hating this person. It probably doesn't even remember me. And I'm here, 43 years old, and I still remember the guy. Because we all like that, right? We had memory and we remember things. So if you are dealing with these feelings, my advice for you, if you want to be really happy, it's time to move on. Let it go. Let it go. I don't say that it's easy, but it's the best thing that we can do. I like David's spirit. When you continue reading the story, you finally notice that he confronts the king and talks to the king and say, listen, if I really want to hurt you, I would probably have an opportunity to kill you when you were in the cave. I didn't do anything to you. What I'm trying to prove is I am a loyal servant. I don't want to do any damage to you. Please let me go. Don't kill me. And at the end of the chapter, if you want to read it at home, you will discover that King Saul realized, certainly you will be the next king in Israel. Because he saw the character of David. His beauty, right? his compassion and his long patience for his enemies. So today, because I asked my friends here to help me with some music, they will play a song that it means a lot to me. It's a hymn. And I want you to pay attention to the music. I think it's 309, I Surrender All. I surrender all, right? Please, let's pray meanwhile they continue playing the music and talk to God right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, today we want to come to you and give you our suffering, our anguish, our sadness, the things that we harbor against others, oh Lord. God, we acknowledge that we need to be transformed and changed, and we don't have the power to do so, Lord. But we know that you care for us. Please help us, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear God, standing right now as your church here, Lord, we ask you, O God, to bless our families, bless our loved ones, bless the people that maybe don't love us, that hate us. Help us to be pure in heart and close to you. Now that we are leaving the church, we ask you for your company. In Jesus' name, amen.